America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. AFA.net/topics/250.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. And He names five: who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. How great is our God. As the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, yesterday at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, we proclaimed the Lord's death until He comes, as the scripture tells us to do, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when we participate in the Lord's Supper. So we had baptism. Two sweet young little boys were baptized. Their mom and dad are good friends, and the Gammon boys, I think they're maybe 8 and 7, 8 and 6, something like that, or maybe older than that, maybe, but I don't think they're over 10, either one of them, but two brothers, and the younger brother got saved first, and then the older brother, and they were both baptized yesterday. And so we observe the ordinance of baptism, and then we observe the ordinance that the Lord has given the church of the Lord's Supper. And I talked about the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross, as he cried out to Jesus as he was dying, and he cried out to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He realized he was a sinner in need of a Savior, and he put his faith and trust in Jesus. And Jesus saved that man. As Jesus Himself was dying on the cross for the sins of the world, He saved that man. And here's the good news. If Jesus can save that guy who had sins and crimes worthy of crucifixion, and He can forgive him, and He can assure him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." If He can give that man that assurance and open the door for him to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven, He can do that for you, and He can do that for me. And so we praise the Lord for the cross and the empty tomb. Well, I want to talk to you today, at least in this first segment, about doubling down on insanity. That is what the WNBA seems to be doing. The WNBA seems to forget what the W means in their name, Women's National Basketball Association. And so you had a statement made by Sophie Cunningham that really rattled some cages, because she said that she believes that women's sports ought to be for biological women, and you need to keep biological men out of women's sports. And that seems to be like 2 + 2 = 4. That's so basic and so, common, such common sense that you shouldn't even have to question it. But guess what? People are questioning it. People are up in arms and they're upset about it. And so Sophie Cunningham was asked again about the statements that she made, very simply, that biological men shouldn't be playing in women's sports. This is what she had to say.
Protesters clashed.
No, not that one. Here's it.
On that same vein, in that story with ESPN, you talked about wanting to protect young girls who shouldn't have to go against biological men. Just can you expand your viewpoint on that?
I mean, I think I said what I said. I think it's kind of common sense. And I think I'll always believe in that. I think it's really important to protect children. And that's little girls who are also involved in that category. And so I stand on what I said. And I always believe that.
Yeah. Do you see your advocacy on that, like, taking any form going forward?
You know, I don't know. I didn't. I'm not a very political person, but I do have beliefs, I have morals, and I'll always stand on those and be true to who I am. And I think people are going to take it how they want to take it, but I've never even really said anything about that. And so when it comes just to protecting young girls in sport and women in sport, I feel very strongly about that. I think that's why you have Title IX. That's why you have some of the greats in women's sports. If Title IX and women's sports weren't protected, then you wouldn't hear about any type of women in sport. And so I think in the future, it's just really important to protect.
Yeah, you wouldn't hear about any women in sport if you didn't have Title IX that separates out. If you just had sports, guess what? Women wouldn't be able to compete in sports, whether it be tennis or golf or basketball or soccer, because men are they're built different from a woman, differently, and they have advantages that they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. I made this statement yesterday on social media on X platform. I said, if you had a D3 men's college basketball team, they could play the WNBA All-Star team and beat them like they stole something. I mean, they would just destroy them. You put a quick 6'4" defensive stalwart on Caitlin Clark. She doesn't get a shot off. I mean, she's gonna really struggle to score at all, because that guy is quicker than she is. He's taller than she is. He can jump. He outweighs her. He's stronger than she is. I mean, it's just, the list goes on and on. So the coach of Sophie Cunningham's team was asked, that coach's name, what is it, Stephanie White. She was asked about these comments, and she said, well, I am, quote, not educated enough. I really wouldn't say I'm educated enough from a scientific standpoint. Good grief. Now, her coach is a lesbian. And so they said, as a LGBTQIA plus person, what do you say about this? And Stephanie White, looked her up. She was previously married, 1998 to 2002, to a man, but since came out as a lesbian, and she's been in a relationship since 2016 with ESPN reporter Lisa Salters. And so this is somebody that's given over to what the Bible calls that which is vile and unnatural, men with men and women with women. And so she didn't want to weigh in. She just said, I'm not educated enough. I like what this guy John Root said in response to that. He wrote an open letter to Stephanie White, the coach of Sophie Cunningham's team, the Indiana Fever. He said, since you said you weren't educated enough from a scientific standpoint to say whether men should compete in women's sports or not, let me educate you. So he goes down the list. Males have significantly more lean muscle mass. Number two, on average, men have 30 to 40% more upper body strength. Number three, after puberty, men have up to 20 times more testosterone, which leads to greater muscle development, higher power output, and faster strength gains. Males have higher bone density, wider shoulders, and typically longer reach. Men produce more fast twitch muscle fibers, which helps with explosive movements like jumping. Males generally have larger hearts and lungs, contributing to higher aerobic capacity. Men have on average a 10 to 12% higher hemoglobin concentration, allowing the blood to carry more oxygen during exercise, which is why NBA games and seasons are shorter than the NBA. Males typically have a 15 to 20% higher VO2 max than similarly trained females, improving endurance performance. Men have larger and stronger tendons and ligaments, allowing them to tolerate higher force production. Men typically possess larger skeletal frames, including bigger hands and feet, which can improve leverage and force generation in sports. Men generally recover quicker between maximal power efforts because of greater absolute muscle mass and aerobic power. Now you have no excuse, he says, to say to not say, quote, men don't belong in women's sports. I'm looking forward to you standing with Sophie Cunningham on this issue. Well, good for John Root. You know, I mean, what a coward. You're not educated enough to say that biological men can't play in women's sports because it's not fair. It's not right. This issue is really blowing up, and so much so that the Fever, that basketball team, the Indiana Fever, played the Minnesota Lynx, and the coach and president of basketball operations of the Minnesota Lynx, Cheryl Reeve, she wore for the game a T-shirt that says, "Trans kids belong." Trans kids belong. Well, they belong in the psychiatrist's office. They have a mental issue that's destroying their lives. That's where they belong, because we want to get them help. But they belong, I guess she's saying, they belong in the WNBA. They belong in women's sports. And talk about insanity. You're going to ruin women's sports. Is that really what you want? Because you're going to open the door and let biological men play in women's sports. It is not right. Now, this has gone all the way up to the White House, and Caroline Leavitt was asked about it just the other day.
Sophia Cunningham in the WNBA has been attacked as a MAGA Barbie for saying it's common sense for men to not be in women's sports in locker rooms. Is the president following this story, and has he reached out to her?
I don't believe he has reached out to her. I know he is following the story. As you know, this is something the president feels strongly about as well, and the American people do too, that men should not be playing in women's sports. It's completely ludicrous that anyone could support that. It's even more ludicrous that you do have Sophia Cunningham, a female athlete herself, very accomplished in her own right, coming forth and speaking that truth that men shouldn't play in women's sports. We want to protect women and girls, and the backlash she is receiving from Democrats and left-wing thinkers across the country is astonishing. They are clearly very out of touch with the American public on this issue, which again is an 80-20 issue. It's common sense. It's rooted in basic biological fact that men should not be competing against women on playing fields across the country.
That is so basic. It seems like anybody can understand that, but people on the left, some of the people on the left, not everybody on the left, but many people on the left, they don't buy that. No, that's not right. And, you know, as this lady, Cheryl Reeve, was saying, I saw an interview with her where she was like, you know, that's not a big issue. We need to be focused on other things. And, you know, these aren't women. They're trans. They're not biological men. They're trans women. She didn't word it quite that way. I'm trying to go off memory here. But she really focused in on the trans men. They're not like peeping Toms wanting to get into the locker room. That was her emphasis on the statement. And we need to understand this. We need she didn't say let them in, but we need to have a different viewpoint on this. And it was basically, you know, I mean, if you're going to wear a T-shirt to a basketball game, when you're playing the other side, where the girl has famously said, hey, biological men don't belong in female sports, and you wear a shirt that says trans kids belong, well, you're making quite the statement, and you're the president of basketball operations for the Minnesota Sparks, Minnesota Lynx. Minnesota, that shouldn't surprise you. That's the state that, I mean, they've given their minds over to insanity, so many of them in that state. You know, it's the governor's Tim Walz. And how do we process this stuff? Well, it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. A depraved mind is also called a reprobate mind in the King James. It's basically just a mind that doesn't function anymore. It doesn't function morally anymore. And that's what God gives people over to that reject Him repeatedly. And we're seeing that played out. right before our eyes. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we'll be talking to Tim Todd and Truth for Youth Bibles. So you're listening to American Family Radio. Pastor Jeff here. I'll be right back.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we've been talking about the WNBA. What's the W stand for? Women's. And the WNBA, just like all women's sports, need to remain women. Not biological men, but women. Not confused biological men who say, well, I identify as a female. Well, good for you. You can identify as a female and play with the men. That's okay. The men don't mind if the women come to play because, you know, let the best person win. And so you don't see much of that, do you, in this discussion? You don't see those who are biological women wanting to play against biological men. It seems to always be the other side, the biological men wanting to play with women and in women's sports. Why is that? Well, because a swimmer like Leah Thomas, I think it was Leah Thomas that went up against Riley Gaines, he can do well in a biological man can do well going up against biological women, not vice versa. It doesn't work that way. And so you're not seeing biological women who want to be a man or say they're a man. I'm a man trapped in a woman's body type of thinking. You don't see that. That they want to compete. So that's my thought. It's like, okay, well, we go by biology, we go by chromosomes, and this is, we'll change the name of the WNBA to the XXNBA, the XX chromosomes NBA. And if you don't have an XX chromosome, you can't play in our league. Well, this has become big news, and this was on the news about what happened between Cheryl Reeve and Sophie Cunningham as they talked before the game on Sunday. And this was reported by a news organization.
Protesters clashed outside the Lynx game this afternoon after Indiana Fever player Sophie Cunningham's comments regarding biological men playing in women's sports.
And this comes after multiple protests in other cities hosting Fever games. Fox 9's Emily Pofahl joining us now. And so, Emily, some of that back and forth took place inside the arena today, too.
Right. This all stems from a July interview with Cunningham where she says she wants to protect young girls in a locker room or young girls in sport playing against, quote, biological men. Lynx coach Cheryl Reeve, after practice yesterday, said trans women should be included, too.
It is not the case that we have, quote, biological men in girls' locker rooms. The way it's being phrased, the innuendo there that somehow transgender women are predators of some kind in the locker room.
Transgender women are not women. They are biological men. I'll let her continue.
A lot of narrative that is problematic that we need to address. That is simply not what's happening.
She went on to call attention to other issues impacting women's sports.
whether it's, you know, cisgender men that have held us down for years in spaces like being able to have access to uniforms and locker rooms, all the things that these young girls that are sitting at games with anti signs, do they understand actually what their real problems are?
Anti-trans signs. So if you're not for transgender insanity, you are anti-trans. You see how they word that? How about those who are anti-common sense, anti-science, anti-scripture? Unbelievable. I'll let her continue.
Then today, dozens of Cunningham supporters, some from out of town, clashed with trans advocates outside the arena. Similar scenes recently played out at Fever games in Seattle and Portland. But then take a look at this. Inside Target Center, Cunningham and Reeve were seen having a cordial mid-court conversation before the game. Reeve seen wearing a shirt saying trans kids belong. And Reeve post-game wouldn't share exactly what they said to each other, but she did seem to encourage polite, nuanced conversation.
I think it's great. I think both of us understand that we have platforms, and, you know, we both talked about, you know, wanting to, more than anything, educate, and there are some things that, you know, we have in common and maybe some things you differ on, just like any issues, and I think it's how you handle things, and so it was nice to be in person, for sure.
Reeve stressed the importance of finding common ground, and Dix did suggest the WNBA craft a policy around the issue at higher levels of gameplay. This was a highly watched game. Two of the best teams in the WNBA here at Target Center today.
Common ground. I think the common ground would be, let's just go by chromosomes. That cuts through all the rhetoric. You just, to play in this league, you have to have XX chromosomes. And if you don't, you can't, because that is the stipulation. And those that are saying, well, you're keeping people out. Well, you keep people out constantly. I saw somebody online say, well, should we let anybody play and participate in the Paralympics? Wheelchair basketball. I guess we could say, well, you don't have to have a wheelchair. You don't need to be in a wheelchair to do that. You can just play. Well, it's not the same. And so you're trying to get people on a level playing field, and biological men don't belong in female sports. End of story. Full stop. Period. Full stop. And so we're going to be taking your calls in the third segment about this subject, because it seems we return to it a lot because our world has gone crazy. And it's still an 80-20 issue, as Caroline Levitt said. And so you still have, praise God, 80% of Americans that haven't drunk the Kool-Aid, but the 20%, it makes no sense at all. You're going against science. You're going against common sense. You're going against thousands of years of history, and you're going against, number one, what the Lord says. You're going against Scripture. God made us male and female. Well, let's shift gears and let's talk about something that is exciting, and that is National Truth for Youth Bible Week on American Family Radio. That is this week, and AFR and Revival Fires International partnering to provide the only hope for teens as they return to school. Help us reach a generation of young people and get the Word of God back into the public schools through the distribution of the popular Truth for Youth Bible to teens across our nation. And we have Tim Todd in Tupelo today, and he's going to be on the different programs on American Family Radio talking about Truth for Youth Bibles. And is he ready, Jameson? All right. Tim? Welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Jeff, so good to hear your voice, and sure good to be with you today.
You know, this is the first time I've gotten to see you.
Yes, yes, amen, amen.
I wouldn't have matched the voice with the face.
Praise God, praise God.
Okay, so Tim, Truth for Youth Bibles, they've been going for how many years now?
This is the 26th year that American Fan the Radio has partnered with us, and we've given away over 1 million Bibles, Pastor Jeff, and Truth for Youth Bibles. And so this is the 26th annual National Truth for Youth Bible Week on American Fan the Radio.
Man, that's exciting. Okay, so how does it work, Tim, for our listeners that aren't familiar? How does a student get a Truth for Youth Bible, and how do they distribute it?
Well, Pastor Jeff, the Truth for Youth Bible, all they have to do is ages 13 to 18 years old. If they go to tfy.org, or if they call 800-733-4737, that number is 800-733-4737. Parents or grandparents can call on behalf of their children ages 13 to 18 years old that will commit to give the Truth for Youth Bible away to a young person in their school that doesn't know Jesus. So, Pastor Jeff, if they have 5 teenagers in their home, we'll send them free of charge 5 free Truth for Youth Bibles. And then the young people in their home take the Bibles and give them away in school. And it's a powerful tool. I know you have seen it, no doubt, but it's got comic stories in the front, 100 pages of comic stories that deal with the truth about issues that many of which you were even discussing a moment ago, transgender ideology. We deal with the truth about sexual purity, pornography, evolution, abortion, what the Word of God says about homosexuality. You know, and I know, God loves the homosexual, and He hates the sin of homosexual perversion. But we deal with the truth about these issues: cutting, sexting, bullying, suicide. It is such a powerful tool. Pluralism. We deal with the truth about honor. You name it. We deal with it for the young people. And we give those Bibles to every young person that will give it to their friend in school that doesn't know Jesus. Our goal this year is 65,000 Bibles that we want to give to young people. The whole New Testament in the God's Word translation, along with those powerful comic stories. And so if they will call us at 800-733-4737, 800-733-4737, one Bible per teenager per household, and we will see to it that they can help us get God back in the schools that their young people in their home attend.
Tim, if somebody said, well, I don't have a young person in my home, but I'd like to support this cause, how would they go about doing that?
They can also go to tfy.org, tfy.org, or they can call 800-733-4737. And then on the phone or online, they can give to help us. The Bibles cost our ministry to print, and you've seen it. It looks like a $10, $15 New Testament. I pay $2 to print these, $2 to print these. A case of these, 50 Bibles, cost our ministry $100 to print. And so anything that anybody is able to do to help us with the expense of what God is doing by helping us get the Word of God in school, helping us make soul winners out of these young people, and helping us bring a harvest of young people into the kingdom of God by getting a copy of the Truth for Youth Bible, anything that they're able to do to help is greatly appreciated.
Tim, when did the first Truth for Youth Bible get printed?
It has been about 32 years ago. And then, of course, it was massively distributed when we connected with American Fan the Radio 26 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so, this has just been a tremendous project with what God is doing with this. And, you know, it all started while I was in Russia. We were given permission to give Bibles as textbooks to the public school students in Russia in 1991. A lot has changed since then, but they asked us, what kind of a project for Bibles do you have for America schools? And I had to hang my head low and tell them, Russia put God in school, but America kicked God out. So we came back to America with a burden to get the Word of God in school. Delivered 1 million signatures to Newt Gingrich, Speaker of the House, in 1995 when the Religious Freedoms Act was voted on to get prayer and Bible reading back in school. And then the Truth for Youth Bible was birthed about 32 years ago. And we are just thanking the Lord for more than 30,000 decision cards that we've received from young people that have given their life to Jesus Christ as a result of getting a copy of the Truth for Youth Bible.
Okay, and so the cartoons and the comics in the front, those are like Chick Tracks?
Yes, they are, except, in fact, the first ones that we did, actually, with the permission of Jack Chick, who's now gone on to be with the Lord, we used Chick Tracks. But now, if you can see these are comic stories that we developed ourselves. And we use the best of the best cartoonists to do these graphic novels. The person that created Jughead on Archie Comics was the first artist that helped us with our stories and with the development of these comic stories. And we update them on a regular basis. And they deal with things like cutting, sexting, bullying, suicide, pornography. We deal with the truth about sexual purity, abortion, homosexuality. We deal with the truth about sexual purity. You name it, sorcery, witchcraft, you name it, we are dealing with it because our young people need to know the truth. But those comics are the best of the best. They are spectacular. And these young people, they read these comics. And then it's got the full New Testament as well. And so that's just an awesome, awesome tool for young people. And so I appreciate everybody helping us get God's word back in school, making soul winners out of these young people, and also helping us get the word of God into the hands of young people that don't know Jesus. We're thankful for what God is doing. And if they go to TFY.org, TFY.org, or call right now, our phone lines are ready to be answered, 800-733-4737, 800-733-4737, one Bible per teenager, per household, and thank you for helping us get the Word of God into the hands of young people all across America.
Amen. Just curious, Tim, is there a particular state that tends to be more active?
Not really. All of the states are extremely active. That even in Hawaii and Alaska, we're thankful that across America, people are getting on board to help us get the Word of God into the hands of young people that don't know Jesus.
Amen. Well, Tim, it's a pleasure, my friend, and God bless you. I appreciate your ministry and appreciate the fact that American Family Association, American Family Radio, partners with Revival Fires to get our students witnessing in their schools and putting the Word of God into the hands of their classmates. And we do want to see boys and girls, students, come to know Christ as a result of this. So you can be involved. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, I'd love to talk to you. This is Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
So, let me know what you think about it. I think it is insane, and I think it will destroy women's sports. And as far as biological men using women's locker rooms and bathrooms, that is so far beyond the pale. It's amazing that we even have to talk about that. And so you have men's sports, you have women's sports. It's fine if women want to play men's sports. They're not going to want to do that, and they're not going to do very well in that because, as we said, there's a big difference between a man and a woman. Women are, I love what Adrian Rogers said about this. He said, women are vastly superior to a man at being a woman. And men are vastly superior to a woman at being a man. And God made us equal in value, but he didn't make us equal in roles. And a man has a particular role, a woman has a particular role. And so Adam was made to be the head, and Eve was made to be the helper. That doesn't mean Adam is better than Eve. It just means he has a different role. When Debbie and I spoke for Family Life Ministries, we talked about what does it mean to be the head? It doesn't mean you're the dictator. It just means you're the head coach. And your wife is the assistant coach, and you work together in team family. And if things go south in team family, God, the owner of the team, he goes and talks to the head coach. The head coach is responsible. So your head is on the chopping block, so to speak. What does it mean to be the head? It means your head is on the chopping block if things don't go right. And, you know, guys that want to advocate the home. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, my daughter grew up and, her values were terrible and I just blame her mother and I don't have any responsibility in her raising. It's like, whoa, time out. You're the head coach. If things aren't going right in the raising of your daughter, you need to make sure they go right. And you need to do all you can in your marriage and in your family and in your parenting. You can't just say, well, it's not my fault, it's her fault. That doesn't work. You know, for a head coach to tell the owner, well, it's not my fault, the assistant coach is terrible. That doesn't work. It's like, well, you have responsibility of the coaching staff. And so if the coaching staff is not doing right, then you need to get them on the right track and on the right page. So it's very, very important that we understand how God set things up. And he set them up to run the way they're designed to run. And if you try and take what God has designed and you try and run it a different way than how it was designed, it's never going to work right. So a car engine is designed to run off of gasoline. Well, if you say, I don't want to run it that way because gasoline's too expensive, so I just want to put whatever I want to put in there. I'm going to put in pond water. Well, I'm going to put that into the gas tank. Well, you're free to do that, but you put water in the gas tank, and guess what? Your car's not going anywhere. It doesn't run off pond water. It runs off gasoline. And so we need to get on the same page as the Lord to the way he set things up. Well, I wanted to mention something. You know, we talk a lot about being a witness for Jesus Christ. That's our purpose on this earth. Acts 1:8, they said to Jesus, Acts 1:7, Lord, is it at this time that you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Don't be concerned about when I'm doing this. They wanted to know about eschatology, just like you do, just like I do. But the Lord says, here's what you need to focus on. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And you know what comes with the territory of being a faithful witness for Jesus Christ? You know what comes, what is the nature of that beast? Mockery. But in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues as it was from the beginning of creation. 2 Peter chapter 3. There's mockery and scoffing that is coming the way of the faithful Christian, the faithful witness. And that's what they did to Jesus. And it says, as I preached on this yesterday, the cross of Christ, it says, and when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall. And after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. That would deaden his senses. He didn't want that. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots. And sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. And above his head, they put a charge against him, which read, this is the King of the Jews. And at that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads, shaking their heads like they're saying, oh, tisk, 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 and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. And in the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he delights in him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. This is God, the Creator God, God the Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, dying on the cross for the sins of mankind, of humanity, and humanity is laughing in his face, mocking him, jeering him, taunting him, hurling abuse at him, which is literally the word. They were blaspheming him. And Jesus, in response, said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. How do you respond when people laugh at you, when people mock you, when people deride you and say, as Jesus said about the faithful prophets, blessed are you when men revile you and speak evil of you and say all manner against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for in the same way they treated the prophets who were before you. And so it's hard when you're laughed at. It's hard when you're made fun of. It's hard to stand alone. Jesus was the only one there. He was just receiving all that hatred and all that scoffing and mocking. Now, you had his mother and a small band there of his followers, but they weren't vocal. All the people that were vocal were those who hated him. And in the midst of that, you know, Matthew says that the robbers who had been crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left, were also insulting him. But as we know from Luke's gospel, something changed in the heart of that other thief, the one on his right, let's say. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us left or right. But one of those thieves, all of a sudden, was convicted over his sin. And he was the one that cried out to Jesus, for mercy, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I'm getting what I deserve. You've done nothing wrong. He had a fear of God. He was convicted about his sin. He was convinced that Jesus was holy, that Jesus was a king, that Jesus maybe even could save him. And he reached out to him in faith, Lord, remember me. I remember when I got saved as a senior in high school, I just prayed, Jesus, save me. Would you save me? And he did, because he'll save anyone who comes to him in repentance and faith. Hey, to be a Christian, you have to go against the grain, because the world is against God. It's against his word. And there will be mockery that will come your way if you're a faithful Christian who stands up for the word of God, who stands up for the morality that God has set up in our world. And people will make fun of you for that. But that's okay. You just know you're in good company. If they made fun of Jesus, Jesus said that the slave is not greater than his master. If they make fun of me, they're going to make fun of you. But if they keep my word, they'll keep yours also. And so we just need to know that being faithful doesn't mean you're going to be popular. It means you're going to please God. Well, we're going to the phone lines, and we have Don on the line from Mississippi. Don, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Brother Dev, how are you this morning?
Doing good. How are you?
I am well. Man, I am with you on this transgenderism in sports and any other area. You know, this is not where God has called men and women to be. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are some men, women that can do some great things just as well as a man does, but we have a specific role. I served in the military for 28 years, and there are some very strong women that can do a lot of things. You know, but this thing about the sports and stuff, can you imagine Mike Tyson going as a transgender fighting in the women boxing ring. It would be no match. You know, none whatsoever. They couldn't stand up against the pressure. And it's the same thing. God, you said something earlier that we are put in our Pacific. God knew exactly where he wanted us to be placed at.
Mm-hmm.
God knew that fish can only survive in the water. You know, there are men and women who's trying to tame themselves to be animal. I would love to see a man or woman tame themselves to be a fish and jump out there in that lake. see how long that'll last. You know,
yes.
I go to the very top of the earth and jump out of a plane thinking you a bird and see how long that'll last.
Right.
You know, it's not the fall that hurts. It's that sudden stop, and it's anything that... I don't mean to make you laugh, man, but it is. It's a truth to it. You can't take the end of an extension cord and try to, the female end of it, and try to plug it into another female end. It just ain't going to work. There's no power.
Right.
None whatsoever. So we are designed, as you said, we are designed for Pacific and special reason that God created us for.
Right.
So my thing is that I'm on board with you when it comes to that. Women and men and women's sports, it just don't add up. I just cannot sit in the stand and watch a young man run down that strip in those tights. It's just not going to work with me.
No. Well, I'm with you, Don. You know, common sense, and we have our world has gone crazy. But not 100% of it. As Caroline Leavitt said, this is still an 80-20 issue. Those who are in politics that want to push this 20% deal, that's a losing proposition. Although, as more and more people get on the bandwagon of insanity, it starts to gain some momentum. It's unbelievable. Listen, God has set the parameters for morality. We don't set them. He sets them. And life is really, really hard when you kick against the goads, but it becomes wonderful when you just yield to the Lord in the way he made things. So God bless you, Don. I appreciate it. Well, we have our friend Lisa Bowden on the line from Arkansas. Lisa, how are you doing?
Hey, Jeff. Good morning. I know we're running out of time. I wanted to, and I'm here with John, I wanted to mention, you know, Annika Sorenstam was the number one ladies golfer for 60 consecutive weeks on the LPGA Tour. She shut everybody out. She was incredible. But she tried to play in the Colonial, and she finished 96th. So that should tell you something right there. The women have tried. They can't keep up. Even Serena Williams said if she had to be in a tennis match with the top male player in the world, she would not win. And these are women that are at the top of their game. So
right.
None of this makes any sense, and it's hard to believe we even have to have this conversation.
Yeah, well said, Lisa. Well, I appreciate you and appreciate John. God bless you and your girls. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for today, and so what's the W for in the WNBA? It's for Women's National Basketball Association, and we need to make sure that women's sports stay female, XX, no XY, no males in female sports. It's a no-brainer. Should be a no-brainer, but for some, it's a real struggle. Hey, go out, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you. Stand up for the truth, no matter the laughter, no matter the mockery, and God will bless you for it. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.